question for you, alright. I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright. The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.
So hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that show. Senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and guy with the cleanest shoes in the room, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello, I'm feeling a little self-conscious about my shoes. I was even before you said a thing.
Really?
Because, yeah, it's like a leather, but it's like a dried out leather now, and mm-hmm. I was just thinking, do you oil shoes? Is that like a linseed?
Ooh.
What do you do?
I don't know.
But you do have really nice shoes. I don't want to detract from the fact that yes, your shoes are glimmering and perfect and untouchable, and you made a good choice.
It's really the only thing that I thought about when I was picking my clothes to bring to LA to film these things, is that I should have clean shoes because people are gonna see them, and most of my shoes aren't clean.
Did I fucking get in your head about shoes when I talked to you about how you can tell someone's homeless by their shoes or crazy by their shoes?
No.
Okay.
I am now that we're back on YouTube, and I'm just like very hyper aware of every position that I'm in, yeah, and everything that I'm showing to the audience. But it's baby steps because I have the cleanest shoes in the land. But people are going to see I'm wearing these pants in the next five episodes that are going to air. I did not bring bottoms to change into. All of my other clothes that I brought to LA are shorts, and I'm not going to wear fucking shorts on camera.
I thought about it last night too, and I was like, I'll be in positions like this, and I don't think I want to do that in shorts.
No.
Well, you know what? This is good. This is good for a podcast to describe everything that we're wearing. I think people's podcasts should do this more often. We are on video. If you're listening to this, you can catch a video version of it on YouTube. But if you want to listen to it and you don't want to see our faces, hey, I fucking get that.
Yeah.
I get not wanting to do that. That's if how you experience this podcast is over the radio waves,
yeah,
then keep it that way.
People have pointed out in the comments that we have aged. And
it happened.
And that might make
it
difficult.
Stop now.
That might make it difficult viewing for you. And I'm not even like, I don't think you're being a dick if you told us that we've aged. I have. And I feel the same way seeing someone that used to be young and now I see them and they're not. That's sometimes difficult for me to see also. So if you only want to listen to this episode and pretend that we're both 22, that's great. I get it.
I remember watching Home Improvement as a child and then kind of falling off from it a little while and came back and the kids were all like 6 feet tall. And I was like, no, I was like an insult to me. Like, why would they do that?
Yeah.
This is different now. So yeah, I get it. Don't look at us if you don't want to.
How's it going, man?
Oh, yeah. I mean, pretty good. Thanks for asking. I'm all recovered from Lyme's disease.
Oh, good. Yeah. I forgot to ask.
I'm good.
I saw you yesterday and you were just so healthy on the picket lines.
Yeah.
Can I say another thing about you?
Yeah. Say a thing.
Soren is the fucking mayor of this strike. I went picketing with him yesterday with, two of our good friends, Caitlin and Mickey. Shout out to both of them. And you knew everyone on the line. You were saying hi to everyone. You were shaking hands. Everyone knew you. You were just going up, and we got like 5 minutes of time talking to you, and the rest of it was just like you glad-handing everybody and checking in. And it was just, it's really cool to see tremendous like high school flashbacks of not being popular. Just hanging out with my friends in the corner of the gym for the school dance and seeing the captain of the strike, I guess.
Well, I've spent 100 days with these people. I don't go to a bunch of different locations. I occasionally will go to like Fox if there's some event there, but I'm at the same studio every single day. And so I see the same people, and like they're the regulars. They're the people that I know. And you inevitably end up talking to everybody there. And you don't talk about it. It's not, nobody's hot. Nobody's like hot about it. Nobody's like, what do you do? What do you want?
Yeah.
Like you're just like, oh, I don't think that truck's supposed to be going in this gate. And then you just start talking.
Yeah.
And then you start to like develop a relationship with them, and you find out like, oh, you were on Barry. Oh, I love Barry. And like, and I'm like, I was on American Dad. And you're like, what is that? But you start to like develop a relationship with people. And
what is that? What, have you never been to a hotel or an airplane?
People, the look of relief on people's faces when I say, it's okay, I don't watch it either. Because I don't have TBS. They're like, oh, thank God. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. We can talk candidly.
Yeah.
But I'm on the lines and see these people all the time. And then you, like, you become friends with these people. Yeah. They all have very similar jobs to you. They're dealing with similar things. You can talk about different showrunners you've encountered or the other rooms, what rooms are like and stuff. And you just have so much to talk about that you become friends very, very fast. I will also say, for a good portion of this, I had a broken wrist and I was memorable.
Sure.
And that is why I'm king of the lot, is that everyone knows
me. I mean, I said mayor. That's a fine promotion to give yourself, I guess.
That is why I'm sultan of the lot, is that I had, like, people were tracking the progression of my return to health from a broken bone, because it was so easy. And it was like, anybody's looking for anything. At one point, at one of the gates, a piece of a tree fell, and we still talk about it. Like, we can't stop, because anything that happens is exciting. Because it's just interminable. It's just you walking back and forth and back and forth. And so, you become, it's like, I don't know, being in a jail with somebody, I think.
Sure.
You're like, you develop a relationship with them. And then after that, I have to talk to my brethren when I see them. So I was like hanging out with you guys, but I was also like, and now I need to talk to Ben for a little bit because he's also here.
That's fascinating. I think we might have talked a little bit about this when you and I went to the Emmys together, that I still have this imposter syndrome, the same way that we were at this fancy HBO party, and I didn't really talk to any of the many famous people that were there, except like Jesse Armstrong. I could talk to him and have a nice conversation with him. I still, at that party, felt like I'd crashed it somehow, even though it's the HBO Emmy party. And I work for HBO, or I used to. Now I'm on strike. Now I just work for
And it's also not HBO anymore.
I work for Max. The one to watch. But like at the time, HBO, Emmy party, and I worked for HBO. And I had a couple of Emmys for them.
I'm still
just like, I don't belong here. I don't belong here.
Yeah.
And I feel that way even when we're striking. That like we are all mostly working writers and actors who are striking together. I should feel like I'm allowed to talk to people, but I just don't. I still get very nervous, being like, they don't want to, look, it's a very talented writer. They don't want to be bugged by some.
and in fact, it's like the best time to talk
to
people,
but I still don't do it.
I'm hungry for conversation out there. Yeah. Like anybody could approach me. And as long as we're not talking about writing right off the bat, I'm in. Like if they're like, oh, you're wearing a Broncos hat. Oh, I can't wait to tell you about how much I fucking hate the Broncos. I'm wearing a Broncos hat because I like them. They suck. And so I found that out there on the lines, like you just start a conversation with somebody. You talk for a very long time, and then gradually, like organically, it'll just come up like what you do. And then like this whole other conversation blossoms from it.
Yeah.
Of, like, we have very similar experiences, and it's, I don't know, I think it's made me good at, I hate this word, but I think it's made me good at networking.
I knew it was going to be networking.
And like people do it wrong. I'll say that. There's a wrong way to do the lines.
Sure.
Where people come in hot, especially when SAG started, because SAG would come in and immediately ask, what show are you on? What are you working on? Like, what were you on? And there was one instance where I was with somebody else who had been on a few different shows, and a person came up, asked him what he'd done, And then IMDb beat him right in front of us. And I was like, that's not the good approach. That,
man,
don't do that. But everybody else has been, everybody's so kind and like.
They are, yeah. We talked to a few people yesterday, but we never even got around to what do you work on? What's your show?
And you shouldn't. Well, that's the benefit of 100 days. Like, I'm not saying like this conversation happened within 5 minutes. It's like, I will talk to somebody. I'll see them again the next day. I'll see them again the next day. And then 2 weeks later, we find out like, oh, you work on this show. Oh, I work down the hall from you.
It's actually one thing. The SAG edition has been more stressful for me because these people might be regularly on television and I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't a minefield when it's just writers and you're talking to other writers and they're like, oh yeah, I work for Peaky Blinders or whatever. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't have known that. And it's okay that I don't know that by looking at you.
Right.
But now there's actors and like, I stop myself from saying, what do you work on? Because they might be like, I'm Peaky Blinder. I'm like, oh no.
Peaky Blinders. It's really funny to imagine that as Peaky Blinder apostrophe S. Like, this is his show. It's Peaky Blinders. And also, you do know Cillian Murphy. You know exactly what he
is. He's 5'6".
And I can't let it go that he's little because he's so devastatingly handsome.
Yep.
You don't like that quality about yourself, but I really love it. Dude,
what that petty side of me?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's healthy.
I
think it's important that you know these things about yourself.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being 5'6".
No,
lots of people are.
Yeah, but you couldn't be me. Need to gotta mention it. Nothing wrong with it.
No,
but everyone should know.
Yeah,
he's 5'6". That's short. Yeah.
Put all of his body into his cheekbones and eyes and just and left nothing left over for height. That's fine.
He's got pretty good hair too.
Whatever.
Oh, his calves also. I don't know if you saw this, but there's a picture of him recently in I want to say an open kimono, but I don't think that's right. He's in like a bathrobe eating some cereal out on a porch or something. It's a very compromised photo. Like
is this real?
Yeah, it's like a very intimate photo, but it has like the grainy quality of 28 Days Later. So at first I had like double check and be like, is this a still from the movie? But he looks good, despite the fact that he's wearing like a bathrobe and he's like eating cereal out of a ceramic. And then his calves are fucking killer.
Really?
Yeah, he's got great calves. Carrying around a 5'6" frame. They're doing some extra heavy lifting somehow.
Man. Gabe is holding up a picture of.
Oh, that's his knee.
A knee.
There are those calves.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at the definition.
Holy shit. That surprised me. Okay. All right.
Anyway,
we'll be right back. Should we get into the show?
Yeah, I'm so nervous about what you've got in your hand right now.
I just wanted to have, like, there's. Just a few things that I wrote down, just some notes for myself so I can remember. And I didn't really... I mean...
Got it. Very helpful.
The things that I actually wrote down, I didn't need to write down.
You wrote that down and it didn't look right, so you retraced it several times to make it bolder?
Yeah, I wanted it to play on camera. And I forgot to pack a marker when I flew.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to buy another marker when I'm in Los Angeles. I'll just like really for this like one beat bit.
Go on.
But the actual things I needed to write down, I could have just remembered. And I already bought the cards. So what am I going to do? Give them back?
Did you?
Nope.
I'm out of bits now. I shouldn't be interrupting because this is really going well.
No, I'm out of bits now.
Okay.
I only have the three words that I could have just memorized, but. Here we are. I need your help coming up with a new word.
Oh, okay, good.
It's for...
Nepuleted.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Oh, you had a context
mean?
For it.
No.
Nepuleted?
Yeah.
It's when... Nepuleted is actually like a combination of... It's a portmanteau of like Bigfoot's son, like a cryptid and a Nepo baby. Like
okay,
when
yeah.
they are combined where like... He's getting jobs just because he's Bigfoot's son, even though you can't even, there's nothing Bigfooty about him.
Right.
you just know that he's mm-hmm. Bigfoot's son, and he's pretty mediocre in all ways, but like he's getting a lot of work because of it.
Yeah, that always sucks. Every time you find out there's like the youngest writer ever hired for SNL, and then like a little bit of Googling, he's a Bigfoot. Nine out of 10 times, it's a Bigfoot.
He's not even a Bigfoot, he's a Yeti.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You hate to see it. So I've been thinking about a word. So like hangry is when you're so mm-hmm. hungry that you're mad about it.
Another
this is sort of a cousin of that, I would say, where you eat so much, you're so full that you're mad about it, which has happened to me a few times. And just like, because you go out to a restaurant and you're just like having such a good time eating and then you get full before you know it. And then you're just like walking around bloated and so full that you're mad. I went to a Korean barbecue place with my friend Elise when I was living out here. It was her last day in town when she was visiting me before flying home. Mm-hmm. And she didn't realize how full she was getting at the Korean barbecue place until it was too late. And she was mad at me afterwards because she was like, I have to fly now. I'm so uncomfortable and full. I get it. I'm really sorry. I will never do this again.
It's fun. My children get this way frequently. We're like, they'll drink too much chocolate milk and be fucking furious about it. I would call it like self-folding.
Ooh, okay.
Because it's angry at yourself. You're being angry at yourself.
Yeah.
Like you're mad that you did this.
Okay.
So like a self-loathing combined with like that feeling of being very, very full.
Yeah. My first one, and it's imperfect, was bustrated. You're about to bust. But also like I don't think we should use it because
bustrated is tough.
Busting is also is like
yeah.
It's another thing. It's a dirty thing.
It's another thing.
Yeah. I also had full shit. I don't like it.
More distant to me. I can't relate to that. Well, let's see. Full shit.
I'm so full.
Yeah.
And it's bullshit.
Well, see, to me, that suggests I need to shit real bad.
I have a full shit. Yeah. None of these are perfect.
I'm like locked and loaded with one.
The closest one I think I had was, and I haven't finessed it yet, enoughed.
Oh.
Is that?
Yeah,
is
that the area? That registers, yeah. Because you've got stuffed at the end of it.
Yeah. Those are the only ones that I had.
Enoughed. Although, you're not really capturing the anger with that one.
No.
What was that first one?
Bustrated.
Bustrated. It's such a shame because that one's pretty good. Like, you're busting at the seams.
Right.
Because you're so full and you just need to come. yeah, that seems like people should actually use that one for sexually frustrated.
Yeah.
Bustrated's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good shorthand. Well, if not for this, but,
sure.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Let's see. I think you really want to capture the fact that you're not just angry generally. Like, it's like the world hasn't done anything to you. You fucking did this.
Yeah.
So I think you really want to capture that feeling, that sense of shame that's associated with it.
Now, you said that this happens to your kids all the time. Does it not happen to you?
No.
You don't ever go like just overboard on a sandwich?
I do. But I know that, I mean, this isn't my first rodeo. Like, I know that if I get really full, I could just, in 5 minutes, I'm going to feel fine.
Yeah.
I got to walk it off a little or I got to do something, but I'm never going to, it doesn't feel permanent in a way that it does for my children who are like, oh no.
It like shuts my night down.
Really?
If I eat too much, if I go out to dinner and eat too much and then I'm just like, oh, I don't even want to. I just got to sleep this off. I have to just be another person. It needs to be another day.
I think that a lot of it comes from my love of fast food that I'm so used to it. That like I eat fast food and immediately after eating fast food feel fucking terrible.
Yeah.
But I'm so used to that feeling that at this point I'm like, this will pass. This is just part of the experience.
I hope you don't mind me bringing this up, but at the strike yesterday, we were gifted free tacos, and you got tacos at 11 o'clock in the morning, like all of us did.
Yeah.
And then you got a slice of pizza.
Uh-huh.
And as you were eating your tacos and pizza, you turned to me and said, "Is this going to be your lunch?" I was like, "Yes, of course it is," because you were getting another lunch after the strike.
Yeah.
Did you end up doing that?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Well, I was going to go to this great sandwich shop called Jackson Market that's right near where I strike because like love their sandwiches, great turkey sandwiches. And the ambiance, can't beat it. I didn't end up going there. On the way to my gym, I went to Whole Foods and had a big slice of chicken thigh sour orange chicken thigh, and then I had some salad, some kale salad.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. That's healthy.
Well, so that's the thing, is I've been doing a new thing with lunches where I try to be very, very healthy with the lunch, mm-hmm. and then go apeshit on dinner.
I see.
But those are the only two meals I eat.
Yeah.
So I get, by the time it's lunchtime, I haven't eaten for like 14 hours.
Right.
And so I will eat, I will go crazy at lunch. Like I will eat a bunch. And so the way that I was solving that was I was like, well, how big are the tubs I'm allowed to get at Whole Foods? Oh, I'm allowed to get a salad tub that like container that's gigantic mm-hmm. and just not just like casually throwing salad in there. That's a huge waste of space. You got to like pack the salad down in there.
Sure.
And get it as full as possible. And I don't like salad. I fucking hate it. But I famously do my salad shots, the yeah. Sorenbuie's signature salad shots, mm-hmm. where you hide below a window. That's important. Get down low, crouch down in your house, and you ball spinach up into like a black hole of spinach. Like,
yeah.
You, no space left in there. And then mm-hmm. you put the whole thing in your mouth and chew it for the next 45 minutes. And then you're done with your salad, and it was so easy.
Yeah.
But I can't, I don't know, with lunches, I'm like trying to embrace the salad, and I know that I will at the end feel full, mm-hmm. and like I'll get that same feeling of like too full, but I need that at yeah. the end to know to stop. And so I won't feel good doing it. I don't like the salad, but I know at the end I'll have the same feeling. And so if I can just get to that point, then I did it with salad instead of French fries, and that's yeah. good.
I'm traveling now, so my whole diet is whatever it's going to be.
Yes.
But I eat salads for lunch every day now, and yeah. I fucking hate it.
It's the worst. It's the worst thing in the world. And you start, after like 2 months of it, you start to think, this is what I deserve.
Yeah.
And you don't, and other food just isn't for you.
It's especially.
It's like waffle cones growing up. You're like, waffle cones aren't for me. That's for Dukes.
It's especially annoying when I go to the gym early enough that I come home and it's lunchtime. And my lunchtime after the gym is a salad.
Yeah.
That's when I feel like, who are we doing this for? So we can live longer? This is, why did
more
we even,
this?
Why did we go to the gym? So I could cut up a fucking cucumber and put it in my stupid salad.
Let me ask you this.
No.
Quick question, dude. When you're.
You got it, Soren.
When you're making your salads, mm-hmm. get your note card ready, because I think this is going to be the answer. Are there like, you've started to like look forward to these little things within the salad, and that becomes the treat, and it's,
yeah.
and how horribly demoralizing that is, that you're like excited about some cut up strawberries at the bottom of it?
It's the, depending on the salad that I make, because there's two that I go back and forth between. One of them is strawberry, cucumber, watermelon with black pepper. And
well, that sounds great.
Feta crumbles. It's great if you like fucking cucumber, which I don't.
Yeah.
So I just eat this thing I don't like.
Yeah.
And the other one is like mixed greens and a bunch of other bullshit. And that's the one with the treat. I will allow myself some fried crispy onion topper stuff on there.
Yeah.
And sometimes I really feel like, oh, what a coup. This is like basically a chip. This is like a snack. And I'm really happy about that. But other times as I'm eating it, I can, the saltiness is so pronounced in it that I can feel myself prepping for like, well, when we're out of the crispy onion things that I love, we're not buying another case of them. This is going to be it. We're not going to throw it out, because that's wasteful, but it's the end of the road for these, because I could just taste how damaging they are.
I mean, I'm sure that what I'm describing and what we're both describing here is not a healthy relationship to food, but I like salad is essentially a penance for me. It's
yeah.
like, this is how I remind myself to be humble and be grateful. And like, and I will eat kale, which kale's the worst of all of the leafy greens, because it's basically like tree bark. Like it's so, you have to do so much to it to make it.
I'm not
going to
eat kale. I like there are some lines I won't cross in my quest to be healthier. And like kale, no.
And a lot of people,
broccoli, no, I'm not going to eat broccoli.
Oh, broccoli's one.
I hate broccoli.
Well, broccoli's one I've turned a corner on. But I like with kale, like, you're also supposed to like tear the leafy greens off of the stalk, and Whole Foods refuses to do that. So like they're just going to cut it up and put it in. You're getting the like trunk in there.
Yeah.
And I just sit there and like wolf the shit down. But I know that at the bottom of this, I have something. Like I've always added something else that I can find. That's like at the bottom that I'm going to be excited about. And for a while it was this chicken thigh, and that's not doing it anymore. Like mm-hmm. now I'm like sick of the chicken thigh too. So now I've got to like add something else. And then when I finally get to it, I'm always like, and this is what I was fucking so excited about. What is this life?
I recently found, it's like barely a recipe, but I follow this eating healthy Instagram account. And they're like, you can dice up watermelon and put it in a food processor and mix it with a little bit of lime and then put it in the freezer. And that's basically the same as an ice cream treat.
No, it's not.
It's not. But I eat it. I certainly feel like I'm doing an ice cream. Like, it has the whole ritual of like an Italian ice kind of treat thing. Yeah. But I know better.
Yeah, it's not Aritas.
I was there when we made it.
I'm gonna be really annoying for a second. And then I hopefully by the end it culminates into like something poignant and good. Indian scripture. There's a book called, and I'm going to butcher the name for anyone who actually speaks the language, but it's called the Mahabharata. Mm-hmm. And within it, there's a story called the Bhagavad Gita, which is like very, very popular in Hinduism. But there's the Mahabharata is like thousands and thousands of pages. But it's the story of these Pandava brothers, these five brothers who like fight in this big war, but each of them represent like a different aspect of humanity. There's like enlightenment, there's strength, there's all these different things. At one point, one of them asks a sage, he's like, as the sage is dying, he's like, wait, what's the meaning of life? And the sage is like, there is a man running through the jungle, and the jungle is surrounded by a giant net, and he is being chased by wild animals who want to eat him, and he gets to the edge of a cliff and falls and barely hangs onto a root, and below him are snakes that want to bite him and these animals that want to trample him above, and around him there are rats gnawing at the root, and there are bees flying around stinging him. And he says, he does not live to escape. He just lives for those bits of honey from the bees. He sticks his finger out and collects bits of honey from these bees and eats it. And so he doesn't live to like leave the situation. He knows he's fucked, but he's like living for these bits of honey. And so every time I'm like eating one of these kale salads, I'm like, it's just fucking these bits of honey at the bottom. There's some blueberries here I think I buried. This is what it's going to be for me. I think about that a lot when I'm eating my terrible, terrible lunches.
Man.
Yeah. Is that dark?
No.
Okay, good.
No, it's very fascinating. My comedy instinct when there's a sage dying and someone says, what's the meaning of life? And he launches into, there's a jungle and there's panthers and there's snakes. TikTok sage. I mean, like, this is probably the last thing you'll say.
Yeah. We're not going to resuscitate you. If you are feeling good enough to tell this whole story, you might be able to just get
up. The man
in
the jungle. There's a net around the jungle. There's snakes at the bottom. Listen, he's not going to answer, guys. I don't think he knows. This guy doesn't know shit.
But yeah, that's like this great grand idea of what life is. And I've like demoted it to just me fucking hating my lunch.
Yeah. I was completely lost this morning because my body is still on East Coast time and we're in the West Coast. I went to sleep at like 8 p.m. last night and woke up at 4 and was just wandering around town. Nothing is open yet, even at like 7 or 6 when I was walking around. And I finally found a little bakery that opened like right at 8 a.m. And I walked in immediately and I'm looking around at like eggs and muffins and stuff. And it's like, no, that's not what I need right now. Why is everyone trying to give me breakfast?
Yeah. Yeah, I know that feeling. My kids won't finish their breakfast and it's on their plates. And my wife is like, well, just eat it. And I'm like, no, we don't do that. My brain and I, we don't do that. We're not supposed to eat until a certain time.
And I'm there and there's like egg white omelets. I'm like, no, I want fucking chicken tenders. Where are the chicken tenders in this bakery?
You guys don't do beer battered shit here? What's the problem? We should do this show.
No. Speaking of the show and food, my cousin Ryan, who listens to the show, this might be like a scoop because I've talked about my stomach issues and how I went to the gastroenterologist and they didn't find anything wrong with my superior blood.
Could be Lyme's disease. I'll just say right now.
That's going to be your one miracle diagnosis that just happened to line up perfectly. Uh-huh. You're going to trot it out every time now. Yeah.
Everything is Lyme's.
Oh, honey, don't worry. It's just Lyme's disease.
Yeah. Well, you guys, you want some doxycycline? You'll wipe that right out.
But he said he went through the same thing where he had stomach issues, and he went to the GI and got the test, and the tests were all fine. And then he cut out red meat completely, and his stomach was much better. He hasn't had red meat in 2 years.
Did he become allergic to red meat?
I don't know. But I'm going to try it. I keep saying I'm going to try it. But now we're a few days into August, so like I want to like line up with a month.
That's easier to keep track of.
Yeah.
No, I get it.
So watch this space, folks. I'm going to stop eating red meat and see if that solves all of my problems.
I wonder what will change in your life. If not this, like, I wonder if anything noticeable will change.
I'm really curious too.
Huh? How often would you say you're eating red meat?
Very.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm not like making a steak dinner every night or anything like that,
yeah.
But I make pasta at least once a week, and I usually have leftovers, and I will often make a different version of sausage pasta, like whether I'm doing like medallions in there,
oh, yeah,
or like ground sausage,
okay,
mixed in for the meat sauce. And I truly didn't realize how much red meat I was eating until I started thinking about this process.
Right.
And like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to cut out red meat.
Let's see.
And then
what would that take?
3 days later, I'm like, well, I've had red meat every day this week.
So that was a thing that I gave
you
up.
You cut out in college, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, but I will eat it occasionally. I'll eat some, like there'll be some bacon on something and I won't take it off. I'm not going to shy away from that.
Yeah.
It's basically paper meat. It's
sure.
Like, it barely counts. But I won't. Yeah. I don't eat beef. I will eat red meat like once every 6 months or something like that. It hasn't made me any better.
No. I mean, I'm getting closer and closer to, it's horrible to say, but like a vegan lifestyle. Because when I can't have dairy and I can't have eggs.
Oh, right.
It's so much easier at restaurants to pick a vegan option.
Yeah.
And vegan options are getting really good now. Because most people, like butter is a real killer for me. And it's just safer to do the vegan route because you don't have to worry. You know, there's no concern that something was cooked
shit.
In butter. Yeah.
So not only milk, but butter as well is a
yeah.
problem. It's like, what about cookies? You can't just have a cookie?
I haven't had a cookie in fucking years, man.
Okay, so like cookies I eat about once a day.
Yeah.
That's like a thing that I'm going to eat. That's wild.
Yeah.
I didn't know you couldn't do butter too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dan.
It's okay. And I feel like the biggest asshole in the world when like a friend or family members is hosting dinner and they're like, we didn't put any cheese in anything. Like, do you use butter in the stuffing? Oh shit. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. No, I'm an asshole here. You're right. You should cook with butter. It's great. And you don't have to use the
like
plant-based butter
yeah.
that I have at home.
You're like the girl in The Witch when the devil's wandering around her being like, would you like to taste butter?
What?
You've never seen The Witch.
Yes, I have.
The very end when like her whole family's dead and then she's like tries to make a pact with that goat.
The goat
and then
Black
the goat
Adam,
gets
yeah.
up and turns into Black Adam and he's wandering around her and he's like asking her questions and the weirdest one is he's like, do you want the taste of butter?
I don't think he does. I think he says, wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Would that and then he's but he and then he gives her an example. Like, eat some butter. Would thou likes to live deliciously?
Is that?
And by that I mean, would you like to taste some butter?
Gabe, does that happen?
I don't remember it.
Fucking take a pause. Black Adam was his name?
I don't know.
This is going to give me some weird results of The Rock.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what I want. The Witch Devil Speech. He asks her, wouldst thou like taste of butter?
Really?
A pretty dress? Wouldst thou like to live deliciously? The dress thing I forgot because that's obviously, sure, everyone wants a pretty dress.
Sure.
But butter's such a weird thing for him to ask that
Man.
It really stuck with me. Then I was like, that was actually the thing that made me think, made me really sad about what the world used to be. That no one could, like, people just dreamt of butter.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm surely, the life you're living currently.
It's fine. I mean, I'm so used to the things I can and can't have that it's all very normal to me. It only gets depressing when, like, sharing food with my girlfriend, and she has to comment on how I live. And she has, like, the various dairy-free cheeses that I have in the apartment. There's some that she can accept and live with, and others that she'll bring her own cheese. Because I've convinced myself it's the same. It's just as good, this cheese.
Yeah.
But then you bring in an outside person who is like, seen the sun, and like, no.
That's how I feel about meat substitutes.
This is not... You're lying to yourself if you think they've perfected fake Parmesan cheese. They simply haven't.
Yeah, occasionally I'll get like an Impossible Whopper or something like that.
Yeah.
Because my inability to eat red meat has not hindered my enjoyment of fast food in any capacity. No. I've figured out workarounds for everything. But I'll be like eating an Impossible Whopper or a grilled cheese at In-N-Out, and I'll be like, this is really good. This is really good. And people are like, try my burger.
Yeah.
And I'll eat it. I'm like, yeah, that's way better.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Because of the dairy and egg stuff, I think if I give up red meat, then you'll never see me in a fast food place.
Well, there's none for you.
Already there's very little for me.
At least everything's in oil as opposed to butter there.
Yeah.
Because oil's just cheaper.
But like, possibly my favorite fast food situation, Del Taco, there is just nothing I can get there. Or there's stuff that, like,
yeah.
I want to be clear, you probably could, but who would want to? You can get a burrito with rice and cheese, or rice and lettuce, or some nonsense like that. But, like, no, that's not... If I'm going to go to Del Taco, I'm going to poison myself. Like, that's the deal. And I just choose not to anymore, which is...
Can I tell you
a sad thing about my life?
I fell off on Del Taco as well. Del Taco is also shout out to Del Taco in this episode, and also this whole episode has just been derailed by our weird food idiosyncrasies. But
yeah,
I fell off on
fun bits in the beginning.
That was good. That was actually worth it. I think that saved the whole episode.
Thanks.
I fell off on Del Taco, and the reason is that the drink is just as important to me as the meal, the soda.
Yeah,
and like there are some places that have like their proprietary soda, like. McDonald's has its own Coke, and there's nothing really for me at McDonald's, but I'll go drink a fucking Coke at McDonald's all day.
They have their own Coke?
Yeah.
Call it Coke.
It's still Coke, but they have like their proprietary mix of the carbonation and the syrup that is different than everybody else's. And there's somebody who goes around them at the McDonald's and tastes it and makes sure that it's right. So it's always going to be uniform across all McDonald's that you go to.
Wow.
And there are a couple different, like people like rave about McDonald's Sprite. There are a few different restaurants. Restaurants is so generous, but like a few different fast food spots that all do this. Del Taco is not one of them. And I'll tell you that the reason that it fell off for me was because I would get the Dr. Pepper there and it would end up tasting like strawberry Fanta or whatever the fuck had been in the line before that. And I was like, they just don't care there. Forget it. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
That was like so much of the meal is me just like having that first sip of soda, which, dream about.
I famously don't drink soda, I haven't for years and years and years.
But there's nothing you can eat.
I'm not allergic to soda. I just don't. It was like a really easy thing for me to cut out when I very early on was thinking about being healthier. Like this is some sugar that I don't need, and I don't miss soda at all. Really,
The only thing in my life where I would feel genuine panic if someone was like, "You're not allowed to do that anymore."
Really?
Yeah. Where I would be like, but all my happiness is derived from that.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to not do this anymore.
Yeah.
I think people call that addiction. Is that right?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I wish you luck with the red meat thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be another big headache for Shay, by the way.
I know. It's going to be a pain in the ass. And it's as I... My spider sense tells me that I'm just out of, for convenience sake, going to eventually land mostly vegan. The biggest hesitation is, again, family cooking for you. It's like, I already feel like a pain in the ass going to Thanksgiving or Christmas, any of these holiday meals that someone else is cooking. And like, and we have the special... The horseradish without dairy, just for you. And I was like, you made homemade horseradish. This is just shoot me in the fucking head. I'm causing so many problems. It's a holiday. It's just me. And now I would add to that, like, have vegan options for Thanksgiving, please?
Yeah, tofurkey.
Yeah.
It's also going to be bullshit. Like Thanksgiving, the whole enjoyment of Thanksgiving are very specific meals that you're just systematically like cutting out of Thanksgiving.
Well, I did have vegan bacon this morning. And for all the progress that Impossible Foods and dairy-free things have made, man, the scientists are not working on getting bacon just
right.
They
can't nail it.
They really, they gave up.
Well,
early,
it's because they had such success with sausage that they were like, bacon's just like icing on the cake. They're like resting on their laurels, their sausage laurels.
Yeah.
Because, like even turkey bacon is such a far cry from bacon.
Yeah.
They can't nail it. That's fine. I can live with that. I can also live with the fact that occasionally I end up accidentally eating bacon. I'll say that the reason that I have like red meat every 6 months or whatever is because someone will serve it to me.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point now where it's just easier for me to just fucking eat it than it is for me to be like, can you please, I need something else.
Yeah.
Unless I'm feeling like a real bitch. And then I will be like, no, I need to go out. Yeah. I need to go to, no, you don't understand. I need to go to Arby's because I don't eat red meat.
I almost, one positive thing about a dairy-free lifestyle is like, I'm never craving ice cream or anything like that. Because it's been so long since I've had ice cream, because that's such a concentrated amount of dairy. And like there's a vegan spot that opened up near me that I went to for breakfast not too long ago. And they have like a whole bunch of milkshakes that are dairy free. They've really been working on them. I was like, I just don't, that's not like a hole that I have anymore that you're plugging. That said, I almost got in a fight with a 16-year-old at an ice cream shop. Because they like one of my biggest gripes about my dairy-free life is like the ice cream shop, they will now have a couple of vegan options, most of them, and it's almost always a variation of chocolate. This is a very hyper specific gripe that I have about vegan ice cream. It's chocolate cookie whatever or chocolate peanut butter or something.
Hide it. They can hide it.
Yeah. I never want that. Like I almost never want ice cream, and I definitely never want chocolate ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
We went to this ice cream place that had dairy-free vanilla, and I was so excited. I was like, I'm going to get the vegan vanilla.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it. It's special today. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to get a topping on it. And we gave them the money, and then the 17-year-old ran up to us and was like, we're actually out of the vanilla. Is chocolate okay? And I went, no! And the person I was with was surprised.
Yeah, and a little humiliated.
Because normally in that situation, in 9 out of 10 times in that situation, I say, oh, no, that's all right. Actually, I'm fine. But I was like, I was upset, and I wanted this kid to be upset too.
To have such a strong opinion about vanilla is a very... It just, it's so sad to be the guy who's like, but I wanted vanilla.
Because the thing is, like, it was really annoying because I never
I get it with the context.
I'm never like craving it.
Yeah.
I'm never going out of my way to do it. And then finally, I didn't even think I wanted vanilla. You were the ones who told me you had it. I didn't come here for this.
You picked me up.
You promised me.
And then you dropped me. I trusted you. Yeah. No, I get it. I'm sorry that happened, Dan.
It's okay.
Hold on. I just need to ask, like, what is a dessert for you?
I almost never have dessert.
Is there anything that you could have? Is there, like, something that you could, like, go to and you'd be like, yeah, that's eclair. No, you can't eclairs.
That is specifically not, like, it fits like made dairy-free.
Exactly.
A normal dessert that a person would have, not a specialty vegan pie.
Like, baked goods are out the fucking window.
Yeah.
And that's basically 90% of desserts.
Yeah.
So what are you eating? Oh, wait. I guess pie with Crisco in it. Can you eat Crisco?
Here's the thing about me before, like, completely separate from my normal allergies, is I was never a dessert person.
Yeah.
I was never a pastry person. I was never a pie person. Would have... donuts growing up, but even as a kid having a donut, I was like, this is a lot of fucking sugar.
I've never said that in my entire life. I'll eat fucking 12 donuts. I'll eat like, to the point where like I have to be cognizant of the fact that when I'm eating desserts, that I'm not like making a big deal about, or no one's really tracking how much of the sugar I'm actually eating.
Yeah.
Cause like I'll eat six desserts in a row. No problem. Like I love dessert.
I think for a while, my sister-in-law, and brother would have dessert with every single meal. I don't know if they still do, but that was like a part of her life growing up, and it's become a part of like their normal life. And it wasn't for ours. Like dessert was a special treat every once in a while. And now it's just nothing. It's not even factored into like my grocery shopping. It never even occurs to me to think about dessert, or that other people in my life would have dessert and look for it.
I think you and I started the same way and just went very branched out in very different directions.
Yeah.
Like I was the idea that we would have pudding or something like that at home was so exciting because we just didn't get dessert, and occasionally we would have something and it was like, yes,
man.
But then, because of that, because like I was deprived of it for so long, that as an adult, I'm like, and I'll just buy a cake.
Yeah. I feel like, an alien if I'm going to a family member's for dinner. And I'm like, what can I bring? And they're like, oh, just bring a dessert. I'm just like,
oh, don't put me in respect to that.
What do, okay, I got some Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
What do you guys do at this time?
I brought a Albertsons pumpkin pie in March. Is there in the mood for some spiced pie?
I'm not going to eat it. I don't know why you freaks like it. But this was in the dessert section.
I got you some Belveeta crackers, but they look pretty sweet. I'm surprised that it didn't take to you like it did to me. Because like that's the reason I like fast food too, is I grew up in a very small town that did not have fast food. Mm-hmm. And so like fast food was like a very special thing. And now it's like a way that I treat myself in the same way dessert is. And my children were also notoriously bad eaters and also underweight. And we were like, in order to like fatten them up like we're a witch in a gingerbread house, is that we give them ice cream every night.
Great.
There's like a time a night when an alarm goes off and it's like, it's 7, you're allowed to have ice cream now.
I'm sure that's not going to have any kind of Pavlovian reactions down the line.
And my daughter doesn't know any other numbers other than the number 7, because when it shows up on the microwave clock, she's like, it's 7, it's 7. And they get ice cream every single night because we're just trying to like get calories in them.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that they turn out like you, where it's like they're so used to having it that they're like, that eventually they're like, we don't need it anymore. Also, we're going to be really good people.
Yeah. Hey. I feel like I've almost completely logicked myself out of fast food.
Oh.
Because I'm aware of how bad it is for me. And like the 1-2 punch of it's unhealthy, and if I'm going to get fast food, I'm going to get the kind that I'm actually allergic to.
Right.
And just like and
you're just going to go for
decide
it.
That I'm going to be sick the next day. And I just don't. It's almost never worth it for me to do that, even though I know I love it. And if I just had it again.
Now let me ask you this. Do you feel the same way about alcohol?
No. What do you mean the same way?
Same rules.
Oh, that it's poison?
It's poison, and it's...
But it's a social poison.
And you know, like...
Yeah.
You're actually right. Like, fast food is such a secret poison.
Yeah.
It's like a poison you're going to do alone in your car.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, alcohol, it's same thing, where it's you... You know you're going to feel terrible after you have it. You're like, I guess I'm allergic to alcohol.
Yeah.
I feel terrible the next day after I use it. But also, like, you want to, you're just, that's built into the equation. Like, you know that bad feeling's coming.
They also go hand in hand in a way that, which is another reason that I'm not eating as much fast food, because I'm also not drinking the way that I used to in my 20s.
Okay.
Where like, fast food was always a partner of drinking for me. It's always like,
yeah,
it's, I they went out, well went out with coworkers, and now I'm home, and like, that's exactly when the part of my brain that is like, you know, you're allergic to cheese, and the part of my brain that is like, you know, it's bad for you anyway, that part, that guy's dead. Drunk brain took over and it's like, hey, now that it's just us, let's get Del Taco.
Let's
have it delivered here.
You know what you deserve.
I don't even think you are allergic to cheese.
Yeah,
I think that's the other guy.
Let's do a quesadilla. Let's see what happens. Roll the dice. I found that in my late 20s that I was going out to bars at night, and then on my way home I'd always stop and get fast food.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I was like, I should reward myself with a little treat. I should have a I should have a milkshake. And then I realized, like, after a while, I was like, let's just, like, track how many nights previously we've been having milkshakes. Oh, every night. Yeah. Every night. We have a milkshake every night now at, like, 2 a.m. That doesn't seem healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe we should nip this in the bud.
It was such a, like, every bit of it was the worst possible version it could be. It was late at night. It was too much food. It was food I'm allergic to. And I'm not going to drive if I'm drunk ordering fast food. So it's also, like, Postmates upcharged to fucking hell, spending $38 on poison Del Taco.
A hungrover.
What?
I'm trying to come up with your word.
Oh, we're still doing that? That was this episode?
I don't know if it was this episode. A hungrover.
Okay. I'll take that. Folks, we did it. We solved it.
It's got Grover in it, which I'm not super psyched about, but yeah, it's that. That
Where,
same
what
feeling.
Is the
you feel so full that you're like angry, like the same way I get angry at myself when I'm hungover.
Oh, I was wondering why it's Grover, where the R is coming from, and it's because
hungry,
you can't
hungrover
if you can't portmanteau just the first part of hungry because then it's hungover, yes. Which is already a word.
Yes,
so you have to put the additional R in there.
Yeah, it's not it either. We'll find it.
Yeah,
I'll find it. And we'll have forgotten about it, but I'll be doing it in the shower and I'll be like, there it is. And then I'll lose it.
Yeah.
And
that's fine. That's probably enough. The show is quick question, but you knew that already. If you're
that show where we ask questions to each other,
if you're just listening to the podcast, you missed a bunch of fun visual bits. We had props today and you could watch it on YouTube, at QQ Podcast on YouTube. You can find us on X marks the spot, Soren_LTD and me, DOB_INC, or the show.
That's plenty.
That's plenty?
They know
okay.
it by now, man.
Yeah. We're on Patreon. You can email the show.
We should do a shout out to Gabe Harder because not only does he do our sound engineering and everything, but he also does all this video. He does the lighting. He does. Mm-hmm. He got the studio for us. He organized it.
You did mention, I mean, like everything that you said about Gabe is true and correct. We love Gabe. Gabe, hey, you're the best. But you mentioned lighting, and a thing that I would like our viewers to be aware of, if I ever look insane, it's because I accidentally stared at a light, which is facing me, and then I looked away from it, and I get a little bit blind, and I feel nuts.
I find that when we're doing this podcast, my instinct is like spike camera, like look directly into camera. Mm-hmm. And it's only because when we would do after hours and stuff like that, you never look in camera. In fact, if you spike camera, you got to be like, oh, fuck, I spiked camera. We got to go again. I'm just like drawn to it in a way that feels very self-absorbed and like it satisfies this itch in me where I'm like,
That's how I feel about the light that is making me crazy.
Fucking moth. all right, that's our show.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. I've got a quick question for you. All right, I want to hear your thoughts. I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you. All right, the answer's not important. I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite? How did you get? I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.